Let's pray. Father, in this time of uncertainty in our country and in the world, we turn to the one who holds all things together, the one who alone is our hope, our peace, our security. Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You created all things. You know all things. And so we come to surrender to you. Father, we ask that you would bring healing to those who currently have the coronavirus. We pray that you would bring protection upon those who are more susceptible to it. And Father, we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear the needs of those around us. And Father, as we open your word, I pray that you would open our hearts to receive the things that you have for us today, that as we continue to journey through this season of Lent, that we would become more and more a people of repentance, so that as we turn to you away from our sin, we would find the riches of your grace that you long to lavish on us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. There's a famous scene in the movie, A Few Good Men. You know, even if you haven't seen the movie, you'll likely know about this particular scene. There's a military trial going on, and Tom Cruise is examining Jack Nicholson, who's on the witness stand. Cruise is trying to get the truth of a military cover-up to come out. And as he does, he presses Nicholson harder and harder. And the scene becomes more and more intense as Tom Cruise presses in for the truth. And all of a sudden, Nicholson cracks and he yells out in a loud voice, "You can't handle the truth." You know, we all want the truth. But the question is, can we handle the truth? Do you know what the truth is? David, in his gut-wrenching psalm of repentance, Psalm 51, names the truth that becomes the first step in receiving God's mercy and forgiveness. The truth that becomes the first step in the path of freedom. And the truth is that David names is that he is a sinner. In Psalm 51, verse 5, we read, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." You see, one of the things that Psalm 51 shows us is that we live in a fallen world. This world is fallen because of our sin. And David, this great king, gave in to the lust of his heart, had an affair with Bathsheba, and to cover it up, he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed on the battlefield. We see this mess got even messier. You see, friends, here's the truth for you and me today. The truth is this: our hearts are bent toward turning away from God to do what we want to do. You see, in this psalm, David shows us the path to repentance and forgiveness. What I want to look at with you this morning is this. What does this path to repentance and forgiveness look like? In verses 5 through 7, we see three things. First, acknowledging our sin. Secondly, seeking God for wisdom. And third, turning to the one who alone can cleanse us from our sin. So let's look at the first point. First, David acknowledges his sin. David came to recognize the profound truth that he was born into this world in sin. He came to know that it was part of his DNA. In Genesis 6, verse 5, we read, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Do you see the shocking truth in that passage? The wickedness of man was great, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sin, it's part of our DNA. And Paul in Romans 3, verses 10 through 18, picks up on this as he writes, "No one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, and together they become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Those are weighty words, but what Paul is doing is he's saying, we are born into this world as sinners. This eye-opening truth, friends, is something that you and I need to hear and receive. You see, knowing the truth, David didn't deflect what he did. He didn't blame someone else or something else. You see, David saw his sin for what it was, and he owned it. And what we find is when we get to that place, that's where freedom begins. This is where new life begins. You see, David names a truth that you and I often can't handle. And the truth is this: my greatest problem, your greatest problem, is not out there, but in here. It's in our hearts. You see, we sin and we're sinned against. And to show just how broken we are, we've fallen into the great deceptive lie that our greatest problem is a result of what someone else does to us. You know, we tend to think that if the stuff out there were fixed, then we'd be okay. We're masters at shifting the blame from us to someone else. Let me give you some examples. We say, if that person hadn't cut me off on my drive to work, I would not have come in so angry yelling at everyone in my way. If you hadn't made me so mad, I wouldn't have thrown that vase at you. If you hadn't ignored me, I wouldn't have had an affair. You see, David invites us in this psalm to see the truth about ourselves. He owns the fact that he is a sinner. Here's my question for you this morning. I wonder, have you owned it? Have you come to that place where you recognize that at your core you are a sinner? David wrote in Psalm 51, verse 3, "For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me." He acknowledged it. He didn't deflect it, but he owned it. You know, the fifth step in AA is this: admit to God and ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Now, why is that so important? Here's why. Because when we name our sin, the power that it has over us becomes broken. Satan, our greatest enemy, loves the darkness. But when the light of Jesus shines in the darkness, the enemy loses his power. You see, the problem we find is that so many of us are fearful to really name, and I mean being blatantly honest with the sins that we wrestle with. Why? Here's why. Because we say, if I'm really honest with God, I fear what he'll do. I fear how he'll respond. I fear how he'll see me. We think, if God knew, then he would reject me. He'd punish me. But you see, there's another component to this as well. We don't only fear the rejection of God, we fear the rejection of other people. And we think, if I'm really honest with my sins and they see it, they'll judge me. You know, friends, sadly, we live in a culture where there is little grace. We build up barriers that hinder us from true confession. We pass judgment on one another. We say we forgive, but you know what we do? We keep score. And as a result, we make the agreement with ourselves that we'll do anything to keep people from seeing the things that we struggle with. And we find then that we keep living bound in a lie. Friends, the only thing that will break us free is the truth. And here's the gospel truth that we need to hear this morning. It comes from Romans 5, verses 6 through 10. Paul wrote, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying this, that God loved us while we were still in our sin. He didn't say, once you get it together, then I will love you. No, the gospel truth is this, Christ met us in our sin, and he saved us from the wrath of God by bearing the punishment that our sins deserved on the cross. You see, we don't need to be afraid of what God is going to think when we come to him with our sin. You see, knowing that we're covered by the blood of Jesus, we live now in the freedom of honesty, that we can be honest with God, with ourselves, and with one another. And that's the first step. That's the first step toward the path of repentance and freedom. And secondly, we see in this psalm that David prays for wisdom. Look at verse 6. David wrote, "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." You see, David prays for wisdom because he knows that sin reduces us to fools. It's that great tragedy in the Garden of Eden. Satan offered Adam and Eve the opportunity to be wise, but what they got instead is that they became fools. I want you to think about this for a minute with me. Sin is really foolishness. I mean, think about this. It's foolishness to think that the created, you and I, are greater than the Creator. It's foolishness to think that I'm wiser than God. It's foolishness to think that I can provide for myself more than God can. It's foolishness to think that the plans that I make for my life are greater than the plans that God has for me. It's foolishness to think that I can live without God. But you see, that's what sin does. It makes us fools. You see, we become fools thinking that a glance at pornography will really satisfy the longings that we have. We become fools thinking that alcohol or drugs can really help us escape the pain that we feel. We become fools thinking that our value comes from what we do instead of who we are in Christ. You see, we need to ask ourselves a very important question, an honest question, and it's this. Where have I been acting like a fool? You see, friends, this season of Lent provides an opportunity for us to ask that question not just once, but to ask that question over and over and over again. Where have I been acting like a fool? David wrote, "Teach me wisdom in the secret heart." So you and I need to recognize that as fools, we are in desperate need of wisdom. But the question is, where do we find wisdom? Well, let me tell you where it's not found. Wisdom is not found in a book. It's not found in a system of logic. It's not found in research. We don't get it from experience. You see, wisdom is a person, and his name is Jesus. True wisdom, life-changing wisdom, comes from a relationship with Jesus, the one who alone is all-wise. And being all-wise, he's the only one who can rescue us from the foolishness of our sin. You see, what you and I desperately need is God's rescuing grace. And this is where David turns now. We see here, this third point, that David turns to the one who alone can cleanse him from his sin. In Psalm 51, verse 7, David wrote, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." See, David knew how dirty sin makes us. And the statement that David makes takes us back to the Exodus. Remember when the Israelites were preparing for the Lord to lead them out of slavery in Egypt, and God told the people to wipe the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their home. Do you know what they used to wipe the blood on the doorposts? They used a branch of hyssop. They would dip the hyssop into the basin of blood and wipe it on the two doorposts. And so as God's judgment fell upon the Egyptians, God's judgment passed over those who had been covered by the blood of the Lamb. You see what David is doing here? Not only is he taking us back, he's pointing us forward. He's pointing us forward to the day when God would give his Son to be the final Lamb, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. Friends, here's the glorious news of the gospel. You see, it's only by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, that our sins are not only wiped away, but we find ourselves cleansed. David wrote, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." What he's saying here is this. He's saying that God's forgiveness of us is full and complete. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. And through his blood and his blood alone, do we become whiter than snow. Where are you longing to be clean in your life? Where do you see the need for more of God's cleansing grace in your life? Friends, it begins where we began, by owning our sin, by confessing our sin, by turning to the one who alone is our wisdom and who alone cleanses us and makes us whiter than snow. You know, sometimes we think you can't handle the truth, but it's the truth that sets us free. The truth that you and I need to lean on daily is that for those of us who are covered by the blood of Jesus, we are now whiter than snow. And friends, you know what that means for us? Our response ought to be celebrating God's forgiveness of our sins every single day. For it is God's kindness that leads us to repentance. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.